Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio Live. It's a real pleasure to have you here. We thank you very much for joining us. And we also are very excited to kick off a series with Stacey Castor of North Executive Advisors, recognized for her innovative approach to organizational structure and leadership development. Stacey is an emotional intelligence practitioner and educator focused on helping leaders bring their authentic selves. With certifications as a master facilitator and executive coach, Stacey offers session facilitation, training, coaching, and speaking engagements as well. The Corporate Athlete Academy, something very special, offered in customizable levels, trains and coaches leaders at all stages. Right now, the industry standard is to offer just training, and whether or not the employee is able to use what was learned is really up to the employee. And when employees want ongoing support, they hire coaches. The Corporate Athlete Academy combines both to really maximize the time and money put into the leader's development. Stacey also offers workshops on emotional intelligence, the generation workforce, and leadership core principles. And in addition, she also offers extensive leadership resources free of charge on her websites, stacycastor.com. We'll mention that again, as well as northexecutiveadvisors.com and leadershipmomentspodcast.com. On stacycastor.com, visitors can learn how to sign up for access to a community of press and notification when Stacey's new book, which is very exciting, The Leadership Navigator, Chart Your Course to Leadership Mastery, Your Mentorship Guide. When that is released, it's exciting. We're looking forward to this. The Leadership Moments podcast transports leaders, really, and listeners to the front lines of leadership with North Executive Advisors offering practical blog articles and free templates on leadership. She offers a lot. She's got a multitude of things in her tool chest. I'm going to share some of those with us here on part one of our exclusive two-part series, live on Close Up Radio Live. Once again, Jim Masters here. A real pleasure to have you here. Together, let's welcome Stacey Castor to our show for part one. Stacey, welcome to Close Up Radio Live. It's a pleasure to have you here, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jim. I'm excited to be here.
We're excited to have you here as well. As you and I were chatting before we went, and we do a little pre-chat before the show, you're obviously very passionate about what you do, and you're all in, and you're very responsive. I love emotional intelligence. I can't say how many times I've been on airplanes with emotional intelligence books, reading them, and just soaking it all in because I'm all about it. So I love that that's a big focus of what you do. Tell us about your incredible background. You've been a business leader for over 25 years, and maybe you can share a little bit about some of the inspiration and some of your own journey that pointed you in the direction of doing this work that really speaks to you, thus then leading to the development of North Executive Advisors.
Yeah, I would love to. Thank you so much. So most of my career, I've worked in technology and operations and leading those teams. And I've seen great leaders and not so great leaders, as I think all of us have. And what I've come down to is the difference has always come down to their continuous learning and their development as well. You know, and I've been lucky enough to have others guide me in obtaining that training that's needed to have, you know, what you need as a great leader. And so it takes just one person to offer an opportunity and that one yes to yourself to take advantage of it. And I was given that one person, and I said that one yes. And I was part of some mentoring programs that then enabled me to become a mentor through a nonprofit. And I saw so many leaders really expand their careers and their own personal selves through this training. And as I looked through it, there was some research that I found. And so, for example, the Association for Training and Development, they showed that without proper training, 60% of new managers underperform and fail within 2 years. And then Gardner, they also have where employees reporting to effective managers are 15.4 times more likely to be high performers and 3.2 times more likely to actually stay with their employer. So they also have 12.5% higher physical and mental well-being, which is near and dear to my heart because it's not just about your work, it's about your whole self, which we'll probably get into in a little bit. But it's really important to understand how impactful that training is. And so I've had coaches help me, and I've also, you know, gone through the nonprofit where it's helped me, and then I helped others. And we've helped over 300 leaders through that. So I wanted to impact more leaders that were beyond my team that I led and also my local community. So that's when I decided to create North Executive Advisors so I could impact leaders around the world. And what's unique about what I do is I train pieces on leadership, and then I coach them through implementing it. Because as you said earlier, right, we can send someone to training, but whether they implement it or not is actually really important, and it's up to them. And sometimes they struggle with implementing that training. And then we have other organizations that might hire you a coach for you, but if you don't have that guidance on what your goal is through coaching, you lose some of the impact in that. So I try to combine the two, and then that way it can be the most effective possible for that leadership training. And if I may add, Jim, I just want to say one more thing. You know, we talk about imposter syndrome, and it's a common thing that people talk about today, and people lack the confidence because they haven't been prepared for the roles that they're taking on. And if we change our mindset and allow these leaders to be vulnerable and admit that they don't know how to do something, we can empower them through proper training and coaching in a safe environment. And I really believe that helps people bring their authentic self as well.
That's fantastic. I love the way you just laid that out in a way that is very relatable and, you know, makes you want to sort of dive right in and roll up your sleeves and partake in it all, which I think is fantastic. You have it very well laid out, and thanks for sharing your journey, what pointed you in the direction. I think I like to humanize the guests, make them relatable to our listeners. So I think that description, being so open and authentic about it, lets people know that you do this because it's something that not only do you want to do, you have to do it because it's in you, you know, and that makes you a leader as well. What would you say, now the role of a leader has changed greatly, and I've talked to so many people who have said that, and I've witnessed it myself. There's more compassion, more empathy, more maybe listening, rolling up the sleeves, not being up in the ivory tower just looking down at it all, but maybe being immersed a little bit more in the day-to-day operations and being inspired, having emotional intelligence. What are one of the most important qualities for a great leader to really succeed?
Yeah, I love this question because there's so many leadership principles, and a lot of leaders try to tackle all of these principles. And the reality is that Forbes did research, and they said that 75% of organizational issues are relational as opposed to technical. So when you think about leadership principles, a lot of them are very tactical and technical, but the reality is to be a great leader, you need to have care and authenticity. And that's what I believe are the two qualities to succeed. You know, I teach one of my workshops is core principles. And your leadership core principles are around how do you want to show up every day in every moment? So it's not these hundreds of leadership principles. It's really down to 3 to 7 principles that say, hey, this is how I want to show up no matter what's happening in my life and how I want people to view me. And that's your authentic self. And one of my core principles is love your team members. And a lot of people say, you know, Stacey, I love my family, I love my close friends, but love my team members, maybe that's a little too much. And the reality is that when you care about someone, truly care about someone, you will do anything for them. And when you do anything for them, they will succeed because they have that support. So if you think about if all leaders truly love their team members and they will do whatever for them to support them in succeeding in their careers, how powerful that can be for not only that team member, but for the organization and all organizations worldwide. So that's part of the caring part that I talk about. And when we talk about authenticity, you know, if you take a leader that you admire, it could be a public figure, it could be a parent, maybe a teacher or a former or current leader, if you try to say or do something exactly how they did it, you will not be viewed the same by them because you are not them. So we gravitate to emulate those around us who are successful, but the truth is that the leaders who stand out are those who are authentic and know how to combine the great leadership traits and their authentic selves with that. So when you're your authentic self, you're able to be consistent, and consistency is one of the traits of success. So when you start with care and authenticity, all the rest of the leadership traits really just start falling into place. You know, we talk about people that have a lack of confidence, and it's because they haven't been prepared for their roles that they're taking on. If we change our mindset and allow them to be vulnerable and admit to that, then we can empower them through the proper training and coaching in that safe environment, and that helps them become authentic. So care and authenticity are the two qualities to really go for first.
You know, for the first time in history, large corporations and businesses are actually having to work with a sixth generation workforce. First of all, define that for us, for anybody listening who's like, what are we talking about, sixth generation workforce? What does that all mean? And maybe we can elaborate on this and how it's actually changing the workforce, and in what ways is it evident that these changes are happening?
Yeah, that's a great question. It is an exciting time with us starting the sixth generation workforce. And to define that for you first, the sixth generations that we're referencing right now is the silent generation, which is the pre-baby boomers. Yes, there are still silent generation people working. We're finding people are working longer, not really ready to retire. And that's for many different reasons. And then we have our baby boomers. We have our Gen X. And then we have millennials or Gen Y. That's the same generation. You may know them more as a millennials. We have our Gen Z. And then the new and upcoming generation is Gen Alpha. And those are our teenagers right now. So if you take larger corporations, maybe that are more retail, so let's think of like a Walmart or something large like that, you can have easily a sixth generation workforce because you're hiring teenagers and you still have the silent generation working and then everyone in between. You also have other corporations that maybe are not in the retail industry, but they do internships. And there's many corporations that do internships even at the high school level, which are the Gen Alphas right now. And so that is when you get into the sixth generation workforce. And I've done a lot of studying around this and around generations. There's probably a lot of people out there that have done even some training around working with generations. And we always talk about the older generation and the younger generation and what does that mean? And, you know, how do we work together? The reality is that we need to figure out how to be one. It's not understanding the different generations and being different. It's how do we look at it as one culture and bringing it together as one pipeline and one center of purpose. So I'll give you some examples of different generations just to understand a little bit. So two examples. Let's take baby boomers and Gen X. So I happen to be a Generation X. person. And baby boomers are very relational. They will pause. Now, this is when I say this is not all, but this is the majority of this generation in these examples. So baby boomers will take the time to really get to know you, have a great relationship before they ask to do anything for you, with you, from you. Generation X,
I can verify
myself,
that.
I'm going to call myself. you can verify that. Great. I love it. So maybe
yes,
you can relate.
I'm at the
so
tail
I'm
end of that.
Yeah.
Relationships.
Okay, so now.
And how are you? And let's have a cup of coffee at the diner and talk first. Yeah.
That's right. And so me, I am very task-driven as a Generation X. And I love checking that box and love getting stuff done. And then I'm going to do the relationship later. So an example is, let's say I'm coming into the office on a Monday morning. My drive-in, I am thinking about all the stuff that needs to get done. When I walk in, I see someone on my team as I'm walking down the hallway, and I might say, hi, Jim, have you done X, X, and X on the things that had to get done? Where a baby boomer would say, hi, Jim.
How are the kids doing?
How was your weekend? That's right. You got it.
Yes.
So
exactly.
Is
that a new sport coat?
Right. If I'm a Gen X. Exactly. Right. And I think about that after. So that's the difference of the baby boomer.
And is that why sometimes there is that, not clash, but there is that sort of bubbling waters between the two because of that? It's really the approach, how each has their own way of approaching. I would imagine, and this is a great area, I'm glad you brought this up, because this is really something that is so topical and you hear it so much talking, you know, people talk about this in various aspects of all life, not just in business. How do you work with people? And I'm just throwing this question out there because it just came to me. How do you work with both sets of people who have the uniquenesses, have their certain styles and approach? How do you work through your expertise to bring them together? So there isn't this, hey, well, we do it this way. Well, our way is better. Well, this way was better. This way is better. How do you meld that together so it's cohesive, it's balanced, respect is still there, and, you know, a team is built as a result, as opposed to we're here, you're there, and there's no way we'll ever be able to, you know, understand each other or bring it together. How do you take that ball of wax and sort of work with it?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the first part is understanding each other. And baby boomers will take that time to understand each other, and so will Gen Y, and there's other generations that do. But people will take the time to understand each other. Other people don't understand they need to do that. So when I work with others, I help them understand the differences and what may be top of mind for each other. It's not out of disrespect of wanting to know about how your weekend was or where you got that new sport coat. It is just, it's not top of mind for that person. So this is where the emotional intelligence comes into play and why I'm a large practitioner with that. Because understanding and having that self-awareness of yourself and others is extremely important. So it's through asking, it's education and then asking questions and assuming positive intent. That is always the, you know, the thing you have to think about.
Right, and exactly, and this is where some of it comes into play, where, like, for example, to even go a little deeper, there was a day when you could freely just say, I really like the way that sport coat looks on you, but now, generationally and societally, things have changed a little bit where you could even be afraid maybe to say, the sport coat looks great on you, I like that color. And that may be something that a boomer or somebody even older may just generally do because, like you said, it's part of their way, their personality, their approach. And it gets now muddy and tricky on many different levels, right? And you probably see that. Like they might just say, the sport coat looks great. That's a great color. And but the other person might not think that that's what they're actually intending to say, just to throw it out there that sport coat looks fantastic. Some of that has come into play too in a generational or just a certain approach.
Yeah, that's a really great example, and you're right. And then through the education, where some of the generations understand, like, it's not meant that way, the way that you may take it, but also education of maybe there's a different way you can say that. You can still say it, but you can say it differently, and what is a better way to say that? Something that I've been doing is implementing a reverse mentoring program, and I actually have a reverse mentor, and what that means is my mentor, so typically a mentor is someone that's experienced, typically a senior leader, and then the mentee is the person learning from that mentor. I've flipped the script, and the mentor is actually a Generation Z individual that has not worked in the environment for very long, not very tenured, and I'm learning from them so I can help relate and understand how to communicate better to the different generation, because it's different than how it was for me growing up with that. And so I'm learning a lot from that way. So it's really, you can learn from all aspects, and it goes back to that education and training.
Exactly. What is the hashtag sorry, not sorry movement all about? And, you know, if you're a boomer, not in the tail end of booming, but the earlier years, those who may be in the upper ends of the boomer may think the last time they heard hash, it's something that goes with, you know, eggs and bacon and toast in the morning. So everything, we're living in this hashtag world. What is the humor? You got to laugh too, right? The emotional intelligence mindset.
Yes.
And having humor, lightening the load, breaking the ice. It just comes naturally for me. Maybe it's the Irish in me. I think it's so important to even laugh at yourself. It just breaks the ice. But the hashtag sorry, not sorry movement, it's on T-shirts, things of that nature. Someone listening to our show right now might be saying, no, what's this about?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you bring up the hashtag, right? It, formerly known as the number sign, formerly known as the pound sign, now known as hashtag.
Right.
So I'm glad that you brought
right.
that up.
Well, I'm craving bacon all of a
sorry
sudden.
Sorry, not exactly. So the sorry, not sorry is a really interesting movement. And as I didn't understand in the beginning either. And then when I started doing the sixth generation and Gen Z and Gen Alpha research, it really came to light. And there's two things, I'll explain it and then I'll talk to you about why I love it. So what it means is, I know this is not typical or normal for me to do in this environment or this situation, but it is who I am, so I'm going to do it anyway. So I'm sorry that I'm not abiding to the norms, but I'm not sorry for who I am. That's what it means. And what's beautiful about that is the Generation Z and the Gen Alphas, I've seen it in Gen Alpha so far, they're being their true authentic selves, which I don't know about you, but for me, being a Gen X, I didn't know how to be my true authentic self until I was much, much older. I had to be taught when I was much older to be my authentic self, because I was taught when I was young to be a certain way, whether it was me or not. So that's what I love about it.
Right. You don't share everything. You keep
right.
things. Now with social media, that has sort of changed the game a lot too.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're taught to separate work and personal. Well, that's not a thing
yes.
anymore. It's my life.
No, it's all too. Yeah.
Right. And so,
right.
Yeah, so that's the sorry, not sorry movement is I am who I am, although I know this is not the norm. And that's where this generation training and emotional intelligence really ties in, why it's so important to understand that.
If you think it was hard for an ex to do it, Ask the boomer. What do you mean? I have to tell you
well,
I went to the dentist and they pulled a tooth? Why do I have to tell you that? To get more likes and follows.
Well, and the silent generation. Yeah, and the silent generation too, for sure.
Where you don't talk about, hey, I have some relatives where exactly they could have cancer and you wouldn't even know because they're concerned about you. How are you? Don't worry about my thing. Or, what would the neighbors think? And, oh, no, you know, we don't whisper. The neighbors might hear. The woman across the street has a window open and she's nosy. It's that whole generation. Some older aunts.
That is a great example because so true.
Funny,
so true.
Right?
That is a great example.
you do, and I think we're having one here live on the show, but you do workshops. Tell us about the workshops too. This is like a workshop.
Yes,
this conversation.
I have multiple.
It's great.
I'm glad you feel that way. Yes,
yeah.
I do a leadership core principles workshop, and really the goal of that workshop is to help the leader identify what are their core principles, what is important to them, how do they want to show up every day in every moment. So I walk them through teaching them what they are and then actually building their own core principles. And I recommend to all leaders that they share their core principles with their team because when you talk about it, people will help hold you accountable to it too and understand you better when we talk about that relationship. The other workshop that I teach is emotional intelligence, which we've talked about quite a bit. So I teach the six categories within emotional intelligence and what they are and how to understand them. I also have assessments to go along with it if you want to see where you are at with emotional intelligence and how to build a development plan to improve your emotional intelligence. So that can be an add-on if people choose, but if they just want to get educated, that's also a choice. And then I'm building a six-generation workforce workshop as well to help educate people around that and how to build a cohesive culture with the six-generation workforce starting. And then the last thing that I'm doing right now is I'm actually traveling nationwide speaking about resilient leadership. I have my own proprietary framework, and I've been teaching that on how leaders can be resilient.
That's fantastic. And I know we're going to delve in more next week with it, but congratulations on this book that's been a work of art, The Leadership Navigator, Chart Your Course to Leadership Mastery, your mentorship guide, including lessons, strategies, and a toolkit meant to follow everyone throughout their careers. And it's going to be a focus, part of the focus of next week's episode. We've got maybe about a minute left, but do you have a quick success story maybe you can share? People love relatable success stories.
Yeah, I love that. First of all, there's testimonials on my website, so you can see some success stories there at stacycaster.com. But a quick story in the minutes that we have left is I had a client that had worked for an employer for over 20 years. And when you work for someone for that long, it can be scary and difficult to be ready to move on. But she knew she wanted to move on to something different. So I worked with her on building what is that different thing, getting real clear on what type of jobs to apply for, maintaining her self-confidence to be able to do that, prepping her for interviews. And then she did get a job. And when she got that job, it was really considered a promotion. So she moved up a level of leadership. And then I worked with her in starting her new role to set her up to success. So she's been in her role for over 2 years now and doing really, really well, really set up for another promotion because of how she succeeded with this change.
That's fantastic. You're good. You sped up your speech pattern when you heard I said 60 seconds. You are good. You're on point. You're good. You know timing and everything. That is fantastic. I want to get to the website, northexecutiveadvisors.com. Check that out, folks. That is something that is going to be really great as far as making a contact point. Make sure you check that out. And also you can go to Stacey Caster. That's STACEYCASTER.com as well. And also leadershipmomentspodcast.com as well. Casey, this was terrific. A great source of information, very authentic, real, fun, and engaging. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and you'll be back next Friday, the 24th, at the same time to pick up with part two. And I look forward to chatting more with you down the line as well. And I hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I have with you, Stacey.
I have, Jim. Thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
You are very, very welcome. Keep up the extraordinary work. Again, folks, Stacey Castor of North Executive Advisors. You can go to the website northexecutiveadvisors.com to connect and learn more. And real quick, look for the book. We'll be talking about it more next week, The Leadership Navigator, Chart Your Course to Leadership Mastery, Your Mentorship Guide. Going to be something really special. All right, cool stuff. Great having Stacey with us. We hope you learned something. Look for part two next week. This is Jim Masters thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, this episode recorded in its entirety, so you can hear it in full in the archives. For all of us here, have a great day. Come join us again. I will be back in about 30 minutes with another incredible guest here for you worldwide on Close Up Radio Live. Till then, have a great day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
Hi, I'm Stacey Reeves, General Supervisor for DPE. As part of our plan to make your power more reliable, we're installing new smart technology. When it's up and running, our smart grid will have fewer and shorter power interruptions. Our crews are out every day doing everything in their power to deliver the reliability you deserve. DPE.